Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. In fact, it's hour two of Live the Promise. And I just have to tell you, wow, we just had a powerful conversation with author and pastor Robert Morris. He heads up Gateway Church. You know, that's where Carrie Job came from. Title of his book is Truly Free, Breaking the Snares That So Easily Entangle. And this is such a powerful message, talking about how often Christians live the captive life. And so if you are somebody who constantly gets tripped up by your own negative self-talk, by a perpetual sin that you can't break free from, just by defeating thoughts, or you're held captive by your anger, go back and catch First Hour. The podcast will be up in just a little bit at myfaithradio.com. So now we're switching gears by way of a holy shove from my boss. And he wants me to every once in a while devote a show to you where you get to determine what we talk about. Do you know how nervous that makes me? I mean, if you sit here and you don't have anything to talk about, what am I supposed to do? Talk about pressure, right? So I brought in lots of backup plans, but I'd rather hear from you. What do you want to talk about? What's on your mind today? Phone lines are open, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. What's on your mind? What's keeping you up at night? Maybe it's something you're excited about, something you're burdened about. I want to hear from you. Got 7 copies of Lisa Whittle's book, I Want God. I love this book, Forever Changed by the Revival of Your Soul. So if you get on the air and you chat with me, get a copy of a book, 877-933-2484. So I've been looking at this passage from 2 Timothy. I'm just going to start to dig in while I wait for you to call. And if you're not on the phone, I'm wondering, what are you waiting for? Because I need to hear from you. Matt's rolling his eyes at me. 877-933-2484. You can email me too, Susie@myfaithradio.com. So Francis Chan spoke at this gathering on the National Day of Prayer. Oh my goodness. Last week. So, so powerful. And he read this passage from 2 Timothy, and from chapter 3. It says, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there'll be very difficult times." And he's speaking to the church, okay? These are things he's saying about the church. "For people, so Christians in the church will love only themselves and their money." Christians, I'm paraphrasing here, but this is to the church. "They'll be boastful and proud. They'll scoff at God, and they'll be disobedient to their parents, and they'll be ungrateful. They'll consider nothing sacred. They'll be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They'll be cruel, and they'll hate what is good. They'll betray their friends, be reckless, and they'll be puffed up with pride." Puffed up with pride, think about that. "And love pleasure rather than God. They'll act religious, but they'll reject the power that could make them godly." And then he says, "Have nothing to do with these people." I want you to think about that. One thing that Francis Chan said when he was a young, you know, teen and college age student, there was a lot of talk about purity. And he said, that was great, you know, keeping yourself pure and the purity ring and all those things. And he said, and that was a good, a definite good campaign and initiative, because that is biblical. But he, as he would get into the word, noticed that so much is said about the poor. So he was asking the question, what about the poor? What's being done for the poor? And so he, as a young man, was starting to serve the poor. And he said, well, the pendulum has swung to social issues, as they should. I mean, truly, we're taking care of the poor. We're doing things to stop human trafficking. Absolutely, he said, that should be done as well. But he said, it's been interesting to watch a younger generation go towards activism, towards social justice issues, but leave Jesus out of it. And he said, what we're seeing now is a wave of where we've let go of the purity to do the social justice thing. And so truly even taking Jesus out of it. But this was Jesus' idea in the first place. But who's going to dispute us? Who's going to persecute us if we're taking care of the poor in our own name, if we're taking care of human traffic victims? But again, this was God's idea to begin with. So he said, don't let go of one to do the other. And in this day where People will be lovers of themselves, scoffers of God, pursuers of pleasure at the expense of things that could make them holy. This is a day where we have to get the word in us. And he said, so often you hear people talk about that God hears me when I call and he answers every single prayer I pray. Well, he referenced quite a few passages in scripture where Jesus or God is kind of putting his fists on his, you know, temple going, I'm not listening. I don't want your sacrifices. He said, if we're going to go and do everything we want the way we want it, we're going to scoff. We're going to live contrary to the way that Jesus has asked us to. There are times he's not hearing those prayers because he wants us to get right with him. And really to think about that. We talked about this first hour a little bit, but to get back to a place of a holy fear and reverence for God, where we humble ourselves before him and we get the word of God in us and we don't cherry pick our theology to live the way that we want so it fits us. Scripture doesn't give us that option. Just something to think about, but that was a riveting message by Francis Chan. I see those calls coming in. God bless you, Grace. She's taking those calls. I'm wanting to know what you want to talk about today. I've got an anonymous call checking in from Sioux Falls. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm calling because I've been struggling. Okay, I'm okay. It's nice out. What more could we want? There's sunshine and no snow.
There you go, honey.
So about 6 months, I've been struggling with wanting to go to church. I just have no desire to go to church on Sunday. I've been a few times. I just literally forced myself, and I come out with the same feeling like, I just don't feel like that's where I belong. That's not where my work is. I'm really kind of confused and frustrated. I used to really love getting up and going to church. But then I also realized I loved it, I think, because it fulfilled me. Mm. And then when I realized that one day, I just realized that, nope, it's time to do something more than just go sit in church for 1 hour. And I started becoming more passionate about serious issues. And then I see everybody so beautifully dolled up on Sunday, and you sit through service, and then you leave, and then there's nothing after that. I mean, I feel like we have time services, and I know that's good for everybody because sometimes people have other things to do, but I feel like our country and this world's at a crisis period, and we should be having hours of pure, solid worship. I don't even care if it's in the parking lot, in a car. I just don't know what's wrong with me.
Boy, I don't think there's anything wrong. I think there's something right with you. I think you're feeling a restlessness in your soul because these are restless times. And I think the temptation is to not assemble. And the Bible says don't give up assembling. But I think it was Francis Frangipane who said, don't fault every church hopper, every person who's going from church to church. Because some of those people are kind of peeking their head in the door going, I'm looking for Jesus. I'm looking to engage my faith with power the way he says. Is he here? Is he welcome in this place? And I'm not saying you should hop churches, but I'm just saying just maybe if there's sort of an inertia in the current church body that you're attending and you feel like, you know, sometimes God calls you to be part of the solution, but sometimes he calls you out because that's not the particular vision of the church. And someone once said, you know, two visions creates division. And you've seen that probably before when someone comes in with an agenda to say, you should be doing this. And if their heart isn't that way, then it's almost better to humbly bow out to say, I need to go somewhere that's matching my passion. So, friend, I think that part of this is God's passion in your heart saying, I can't be a consumer and sit. Somebody calls it theater religion, where we sit and we just consume. That restlessness, I think, is God's heart. And I think the temptation then is to kind of do it on your own. So I'm just going to really pray that you find a tribe that's actually mobilized the way you want them to be, the way that God's calling you.
I definitely feel like I don't belong being a lone ranger. And it is confusing my husband because I am like, you know what? I don't understand going and sitting in church anymore for 1 hour when we have people that are just literally being massacred across the country. I feel like that should be the beginning of the prayer. That should be the whole prayer. That should be the end of the prayer. I mean, trafficking, if you can't go and be there, we should just be on our knees. Sometimes people say, if all you can do is pray. But you know what? I can't help but think now, all we should be doing is prayer.
Amen.
If there's anything else that we can do, then that's great.
Well, I I'm so with you on this. And just maybe you could start a prayer group at your church if they would allow it, and where you just ask, can I gather some people together? And maybe during the service, we are in a different room and we're praying not only for the persecuted, not only for the Pastor Saeeds, not only for the persecuted Christians who are right in the middle of all this stuff, but praying for the body in America would be mobilized to do exactly what you're talking about. So
sometimes, Susie, I just feel like I may be a crazy person. I just pray that Lord would make me normal like everybody else.
I pray he doesn't. I pray he keeps...
go to church and sit down and then go to lunch. But then you know what? I feel like I get to do more during my week by serving somebody or finding somebody that needs help than I do get to on Sunday.
But you know what? You might also be a holy disruptor in the best way. And you imagine not going to church and just going to do that. Your presence in the body may disrupt people in a really good way. Do you know what I'm saying? Where your passion and your restlessness...
You know what happened, Susie? Once I got broken a couple of years ago, sometimes I feel the Lord in our church service. I really do. And I just weep. And I know it freaks everybody out around us. Including my son, who's always like, what is wrong with you in church? And I'm like, I don't know, honey, but the Lord just needs me to cry right now.
Well, I think God's doing something in your life. And you got to give Grace your address if you don't mind, because I'm going to find some books for you that might just encourage you to send you. I mean, you will love this I Want God, because she's really talking about the all-out passion you're talking about. But I challenge you, as my anonymous friend, don't even say this anymore. Don't say, I want to be normal, because this is God. I think he's moving in you. I just pray that you find a tribe so that you continue to assemble, so you're with other Christians, and together you're grabbing hold of that altar. You're praying hard, because God is looking for faith on the earth. And I just think, even during the Holocaust, there were Christians dressing up nice, going to church, going out to lunch. Well, you know, Christians were being, and Jews were being slaughtered. And so the restlessness, I really believe.
Yeah, there you go. Because sometimes I'm sitting in church and I just want to jump up and scream and say, please, God, don't you feel the pain of our brothers and sisters? I mean, I know that a lot of us don't take real somebody's suffering, but if it was your real brother that you call your real brother, if they were getting hurt like they are.
Yeah.
How can we sit here?
You are right. No, are you kidding me? I wake up thinking about my brothers and sisters who are enduring horrific things we can't even talk about on the air, and I go to bed thinking about them. Have you ever read Rhys Howell's book, Intercessor?
No.
It's radical, and it's not for everybody, but I think it's for you, because you're just...
Somebody told me that a long time ago when my son was in the House of Hope that... intercessory prayer or something. I don't know much about it. They said that was...
It's a little wild. It's a little radical. But
I don't
know
what it means.
But I'm telling you, I think you might be ready for it. But if you're uncomfortable with giving Grace your address, I'm going to find you a book or two on prayer. Okay?
I love Grace. Thank goodness her name is Grace, because I call her and I give her some crazy stories. She always talks to me very nice the next time I call.
Very good.
You're Grace. You mean more than Grace.
Yeah. She lives up to her name. That is for sure.
Yes.
Well, you are so precious. Let me just say a quick prayer for you, if I could. Is that all right?
Oh, thanks.
And Jennifer and Bobby, we're going to get you in a minute. You're so sweet to call. Lord Jesus, thank you for my dear, wild and crazy sister. And I thank you that you are blowing the winds of change in her heart. I pray that you give her wisdom about her next steps. I pray you wouldn't leave her alone. I pray that you'd empower her prayers in a way that just empowers her, that totally surprises her. Give her a sense of your heart for our brothers and sisters who are persecuted. Give her a sense of your heart for the American church. And I pray that she would grab hold of you and she would wrestle this thing, and I pray she would see you do amazing things in and through her in the days to come. We don't want normal anymore, Lord. We want you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, girls.
God bless you.
Have a blessed day.
And you too, dear girl. Thank you. Jennifer and Bobby, we have to take a quick break, but please hang on. I pray that you will. I have a little sense of what you want to talk about. Hang with me. Just a quick short break. We'll be right back. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Hour 2 of Live the Promise. And we're doing something a little different here by request of my boss, Dick Whitworth. He kind of gave me the holy shove and said, you know, every once in a while, devote a whole hour to the listeners. Let them tell you what they want to talk about. And I said, do you know how nerve-wracking that is? But you're coming through for me. You're calling. And we've got books titled I Want God Forever Changed by the Revival of Your Soul by Lisa Whittle. If you call in and tell me what you want to talk about. And Jennifer calling from St. Bonifacius. Thanks for holding and thanks for calling. I'm sorry if I sounded too desperate.
Okay.
I'm such a sissy. But
well,
go ahead.
What's on my heart was kind of similar to the caller before me. I heard Austin Hill talk about Pastor Syed Abedini mm-hmm. this morning, and I just started crying when I heard the clips that he played of his wife speaking, and I've been praying for him since I heard about it, and it just breaks my heart. I cry every time I hear someone talk about him, because I just think about what he's having to go through, and we pray for him in our church. But I feel like I should be doing more, you know?
Yeah. I do know, and we've had Nagme on the show plenty of times, and Jennifer, he's on my heart constantly, too. And one of the ways I pray for him, he's had some internal bleeding, some significant health issues, that God would miraculously heal him, that God would surround him with such favor that his fiercest foes would become his greatest advocates. Because when he was transferred to this prison from the other prison, I think he was at Evan prison, when they sent him to this worse prison, it's that the prisoners grieved that he left because they'd lost their pastor. So he'd had such an impact on that core group in Evan prison that they were sad because they were losing their pastor. This is a much rougher prison. Mm-hmm. And so I'm praying that God would just so minister to him and through him that the worst of his foes would become his friends and protectors, and that there would be such a revival breakout, Jennifer, that they would get tired of him being there and send him home. I have such a sense that God's going to use him in this nation to give us a brand new perspective on the persecuted church. We need to understand what our brothers and sisters go through. We're so used to getting our way that we get riled when we get our toes stepped on. But I think he has some things to teach us, you know.
That's the truth.
Wow. Well, I think the fasting and the praying is powerful. I think, you know, if you get on Nagame's Facebook page, you can send her notes. She prints those up and gets those to Saeed whenever she can, and he's so deeply encouraged to get notes from people. So that would be another thing you could do.
Oh, I didn't know I could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, and send him verses that you're praying. And she has said that he is so deeply encouraged by some of the specific words people have had for him. So, yeah, definitely do that.
Oh, for sure. I will definitely do that now.
Good.
That's wonderful.
Well, thank you for calling. Great. And you will get a copy of Lisa Whittle's book, I Want God. I think you'll love it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, dear sister. 877-933-2484. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? 877-933-2484. Bobby's been holding from Alexandria. Thanks for holding, Bobby.
Hi there. Thank you, Susie. What a blessing your show is always.
Wow. What a blessing you are to me to not leave me here by myself.
God has been really, and I've walked with Christ for 45 years now. I got radically saved through Christian radio as a 25-year-old. And when I knew how to talk the fake talk and I knew how to walk the fake walk, but my life was not in order. But radio waves came through my house, and I couldn't get away from those. And so the Holy Spirit, God used actually KFNW in Fargo. And I'm listening to AM 1200 right now, so it's really tender to me to hear your show. But God used Christian radio in my life, and I've been radically saved. And 45 years, every year is closer to God, and more things fall away. But even at this point now, I've just spent 9 months in a wonderful study, studying the life of Moses from his birth through his death, from September through May. We just studied that. But the issue of personal holiness, God is just really speaking to me about that more and more and more, peeling away more and more layers. All I want is more of him. And so I would love to hear you discuss more about that. I'm just crazy for him. And there are things we need to let go of. And now they're much more easy to let go of, and things that I need to grab on tighter to. And it's just a remarkable work of the Holy Spirit. But our personal holiness, I think, more than ever. And it goes along with the other things that other callers have been saying.
Yeah.
We need to get this strength rooted up ourselves. But calling, God's calling me to personal holiness. And how do you do that in your world? And how do other women do that in their world?
Well, Bobby, I love that God is doing that. And that what that is an invitation, not an obligation. And I hear that in your voice, that you're responding to the invitation. And I've always seen, in just in my journey, that when I sense just an upsurge of invitation, it means God has something for me to do, you know, and so I start to lean in and just say, Lord, have your way in my heart. And it is amazing. And, you know, we kind of lose our spiritual appetite when we feed on things that just trash our soul. But when the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good, I mean, there was an invitation, Bobby, and you turned and said, I'm going to taste and see. And you tasted and you found that he's better than anything else. And don't you feel like letting go of the things that weaken you are just, it's so much easier once you've tasted to see that God is good.
Oh, yeah. If I weren't driving, I probably could remember the verse, that the address for this verse. But the verse that I just, it just seems to be my life is, when I discovered your words, I devoured them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name. And I'm blanking out on the address right now. But that's a verse I talked about over and over and over.
It's beautiful. And I wonder what God has ahead for you, but I pray you just enjoy this time of invitation. I'm wondering, Bobby, as you're talking about what God is doing, it's so precious because you can hear the tenderness in your voice. What advice would you have for that person who's listening, who's thinking, golly, I want to experience what Bobby's experiencing. I've been sort of, you know how that is when you feel toxic because you've been feeding on the stuff that's just, you know, time wasters and they don't do anything for your soul. What advice would you give another person who wants what you're experiencing?
I would just go right to the source. When you're really thirsty, I mean, there's lemonade and there's iced coffee and there's tea and there's pop, but man, there's nothing better than great water when you're thirsty. And the water of life, God, of course, that's where I would go and that's where I do go. But to me, a prayer that I've tried to pray a lot and God will answer, always has, is God, show me areas of unconfessed sin. You want an answer to prayer? Pray that. Show me how to be a wife to my husband. Show me how to be a caller to Susie. Show me how to be a friend to Sponsor. I try to be very specific now in these prayers, and I think God is answering those. He helps me with that, but I'm trying to draw closer to him. So it's a matter of focus, isn't it? Like, you can't look all over when you're driving down the road. You have to look where you're going.
Right? It's so good. And so those are just great specific prayers. I'm thinking of that person listening who's has a holy jealousy of what you're experiencing right now. And that's just excellent. Lord, show me areas where I'm not seeing things. Show me how I can love you more and walk more intimately with you or love my friend or my spouse. And what a beautiful invitation. Bobby, I pray in the name of Jesus that your spirit eyes open up to such a degree that you know where to put your feet, that you get a sense of where God is taking you, because truly where he guides, he provides, and he's getting you ready for something. And I'm very excited. I feel like that invitation is for all of us, but so few respond. But the fact that you're responding is why you're so tenderized by him. I just think it's a beautiful thing.
Thank you. And I received that. Thank you very much.
Wow. Bobby, thanks for calling. You're a good friend. I appreciate it so much.
Well, we spend every afternoon together on the road.
Yay. Please. Well, we're good buds by now, right? God bless you, dear. Thanks. You'll get a copy of Lisa's book, I Want God. I want to hear from you, 877-933-2484. What's on your mind today? Thanks so much to Jennifer, to Bobby, and that anonymous friend who called. What about you? What's on your heart today? 877-93-FAITH or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We'll be right back. Tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, and we've been doing something a little different today, taking your calls to talk about what you want to talk about. So what's on your mind? Maybe something keeping you up at night, something you're excited about, something you're burdened about. Got a few copies of Lisa Whittle's book, I Want God, Forever Changed by the Revival of Your Soul. Here's the number, 877-933 2484-877-933-2484, or you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. While I wait for that next batch of calls to come in, I talked with Chris Tomlin a while back. We've not ever aired this interview yet, and we really should have, because he's a great man and just a wonderful man of God. And so this first part, we're talking about when the new album Love Ran Red came out. Absolutely love this album. Let's listen into my conversation with Chris Tomlin. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's great to be with you.
Well, I'm telling you, I take your music with me to my prayer time in the morning, and it's just absolutely amazing. And this latest album, Love Ran Red, to me, I mean, all of your music, I feel like, just lifts God up. But this, to me, felt like something new altogether, like a new level to me of intimacy with God, of lifting Him up. Talk about what the inspiration behind Love Ran Red and how it came to you and just your intent behind the album.
Yeah, thanks so much for those words. I'm very proud and thankful of this album and the way it came together and just the songs. I feel just there's such a, I don't know, there's a depth and a warmth, really, and I think a drawing in of these songs that's really special. And, you know, Love Ran Red, obviously the title comes from the song At the Cross, which is, I think, kind of the anchor of the record and the anchor song of this whole project. And the line in the chorus says, "Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you." And it's talking really, obviously, we're singing about the cross and the blood of Jesus and the love of God and how he's washed us, you know, white. And I just love the picture, the word picture. Sometimes when there's beautiful word pictures, it helps us get it in a new way. And when that line came, I was writing with a friend, and they threw out that line, "Where your love ran red and my sin washed white." I just was like, this is amazing. Mm. And I love that song. I don't feel like you can sing about the cross enough. I mean, you can write the rest of your life and not even touch it. But so that's kind of the word. Obviously, the record is titled Love Ran Red. I love how just those three words, you know, how they set the record up. And people who maybe not even know the gospel, not even know what I'm talking about. I think those three words are pretty, you know, cause you to stop and think, what is that about? Love Ran Red, and may cause even people who aren't really tracking along with Jesus, maybe it causes them to think about I wonder what that is. And so I think there's a beauty to those words, and I'm just so proud of the record and all these songs.
Well, like I said, there's something really so sacred because you pause and you just remember what Jesus has done and talking about how so often, you know, we're saved by grace, but then we take it from there and we get into places of striving so easily. But when you look at what Scripture says about while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's not how high we can jump. It's that he stooped down to make us great and he loved us first. And so I feel like, again, your music does portray that he loved us first, but I would love for you to talk to that person who's maybe weary and well-doing because they're feeling that maybe that more is on their shoulders than on his shoulders.
Yeah, I think I think we're all like that at times.
Yeah,
you know, striving and you know, my friend Matt Redman says it so well. I love this. He we talk about this a lot. He said, you know, our life and especially our worship, which is so much about our life, not just our songs, but what we sing, but it's how we live our life. And I feel like it's like this. We breathe in, you know, you breathe in and out. And when you breathe in the grace of God and you breathe out the praise of God. And I think people just, even just that little simple thing of like, that'll shut down striving pretty quick and slow it down. We're thinking, man, I want to breathe in the grace of God in my life. And I want to breathe out the praise of God. Thank you, God, for that. With every breath, thank you, God, for your grace. And I thank you for what you've given me. And you know, I think when we turn our life in appreciation, we start appreciating things and we start slowing down and going, okay, I'm so appreciative of what God's given me. And we're not striving for more, striving for, you know, the possessions of the world. And you start appreciating the life around you and that slows you down. And that's what I'm trying to learn every day.
Indeed. Well, I'd love for you to talk a little bit about the song, The Table. That's another one of my favorites on that album.
All right, yeah. That's interesting. You know, probably you know, the feedback we've gotten from all the social media world and emails and stuff like that, the table is the one I could probably get the most comments on. And it was surprising. I think it's probably the style of the song and what it's saying. It's everything that you're just saying. The invitation of Jesus is like, hey, are you tired? Are you weary? Are you running like crazy? You know, he said, so come to me and find rest. And that's the whole idea. We've been invited to this table of God. It's the symbolism throughout Scripture, several different places that the table is used. This idea of a table that you sit down and you're invited by the King of all kings, and at this great feast. And so this song is kind of speaking of what is at this table. There's no more weeping. There's no more sickness. There's no more worry. You know, there's no more hunger. This table is everything you've dreamed of life, of maybe back in the garden again, and with God, and what life with God. And I just love how it just leads into this chorus. So, come all you weary, come and find his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and how you're restored and you find rest and you find restoration at the table of God. And I think what hits most people about this song is just how it's sung, and it's kind of has this gospel feel to it. And I feel it's very easy to pick up, and totally cannot wait to play this on tour. We're working this up for a pretty special moment every night of the tour.
Well, just letting you in a little secret, I have communion in my prayer time often, several times a week. And when I play that song and I just pause first, because, you know, Jesus says, every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my death and resurrection until I come again. And I was pondering, why is that important? And it's important because of all that he paid for us, you know? I mean, all we possess in him. And I think when we get rushing around, we forget all that he's freely offered us. And so isn't it just so important to pause and remember even what we possess in him?
Yeah, absolutely. No question. I think, you know, it's amazing the power that through his spirit that is within us. And I think we so easily forget it, walk away from it, don't really tap into it, don't really seek the power of God in our lives of overcoming so much of the darkness, so much of the evil in this world, and even that infiltrates our own flesh. And I think that all that we possess in Christ is, you know, obviously the power of life. He's given us life, and I mean, what's greater than that? That you were once dead, and now you're alive, and you know, you actually your eyes have been opened to see, and that's a miracle.
I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I won't hunger anymore at his table. I will feast at the table. place for me. Oh, what joy will fill my heart with the saints around the mercy seat of God. Come all you weary, come and find. His yoke is
Excellent. That was a short excerpt of my interview with Chris Tomlin and that fantastic song from Love Ran Red called The Table. You know, it's so interesting. I got this like holy shove from my boss, Dick, to dedicate this second hour to you to talk about what you want to talk about. And of course, because I'm a planner and a backup planner and a backup planner, we came armed with some of these interviews with Chris Tomlin and Tim Keller. But I've just sort of noticed a theme here with Bobby's call and Karen's call, Jennifer's call, Anonymous call. Really, you're having a sense of restlessness, of urgency to be praying for the bigger kingdom story. And I'm telling you what, that is God's heart. We need to get our heads out of the sand right now. We're not to live in fear, because the Bible says he's not given us a spirit of fear. Can you see how fear can be that spirit? The enemy is a spirit of fear. He'll put a spirit of fear in us to make us tremble. But we are to tremble before the Lord. And yet, so we don't want to just inoculate ourselves. We don't want to entertain ourselves to death. But we also don't want to live in fear. And I love the juxtaposition of this Chris Tomlin interview, this song of The Table, of what we possess in Christ, so that we don't tremble in our boots before the enemy. We tremble in our boots before the living God, because we serve a living God. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We're going to take a quick short break. When we come back, if I don't hear from you, I'm going to play the rest of that interview with Chris Tomlin. We'll play another one of his songs called Almighty, and maybe his song I Will Boast. Both of those are just reverent, powerful worship songs. But I want to know, what is on your heart today? What's on your mind? What are you burdened about, praying about, excited about? Love to hear from you. We've got a few more copies of Lisa Whittle's book, I Want God. I love this book. I think you will too. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Just a little bit of time left. Don't go away. We'll come back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. Boy, we've had a great show today. First hour, we talked with Robert Morris about getting free from the sins that so easily tangle us up and the things that hold us in bondage. Really powerful conversation. The second hour, as I said, my boss, he always gives me these little shoves once in a while outside of my comfort zone. And it's not comfortable. Let me just say that. But it's good for me. So this time, he's asked me to ask you, what do you want to talk about? And we've been taking your calls. And you know what was uncomfortable is that you wouldn't call. So I'm so glad that you have, even if I'm appealing to my desperate need to hear from you. Appreciate that. But there's been a common theme about just a restlessness in prayer about the greater kingdom story. Appreciated so much hearing from you. But whatever is on your mind, let me hear from you. We've got about 7-8 minutes left before we have to say goodbye this afternoon. So I'd love to hear. 877-933-2484. And Ariane is calling in from New Hope, Minnesota. Welcome. You're on the show.
Oh, thank you.
So good to hear from you. What's going on in your heart today?
I've been just thinking about ways I can pray for things that I really do truly need in my life, and especially to help me to be a better service to God. And he put on my heart that, you know, I have a really bad eating habit. And I think oftentimes Christians or followers of Jesus Christ, we don't think that our eating habits hinder us from doing God's work. If we're not feeling good or if not feeling well because of our eating habits, that's something that we need to pray about. I read about gluttony, and we often don't think about gluttony when we're eating and overeating. It's just as bad as any other sin, like drinking or, you know, adultery or any other sin we think of. And so that's been burdening my heart lately, not only praying for myself, but praying for a lot of other people that are suffering in that same place. So I'm just calling to ask for a prayer request for myself and many other Christians, that we learn how to put better and healthier foods in our body, because our body is the temple of God, and a lot of us don't know how to eat better. But if we pray for that, God will show us the way.
Indeed, and I so appreciate you what you're saying, because so often that's the one quote-unquote sin that we look the other way, and this isn't for condemnation. It's always about invitation. It's always because it's my first hour guest. He was saying, you know, the reason God almost, it's like you picture a football field, he tackles you on the field to get you from crossing that line, is because that crossing that way will destroy you. He wants to block your way to keep you from going there because it'll hurt you. And so in this kind of a situation, he wants you to turn around, and he wants to help you do that. And especially, Ariane, if he's putting that on your heart now, again, I would believe that, because what he has for you in the days ahead is requiring a stronger health and more energy. And I think that when I think of it that way, I get really excited about it. Like, what does he have for you that he's saying, take care of some of these things, because I want you to last long and finish strong. So, Ariane, I'm going to make sure that you give Grace your address if you're comfortable with that. I'll get you a copy of my book, Balance That Works When Life Doesn't. That's on physical and spiritual health. But I'll also and I'll also look on our shelves to see if we have other things that might even be more helpful. But I just echo that. And can I just pray for you right now?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Lord Jesus, thank you for my dear sister, Ariane. And thank you that you are speaking and she is listening. And she is right. She's speaking for many people who maybe don't even want to talk about this right now. But you are speaking. You want to set us free. You want nothing to master us. And so I pray that you give her abounding, abundant grace to really start to find a balance in the way that she eats and her input and her output, that she'd have a desire to find a mode of exercise that's invigorating and energizing. I pray that her sleep at night would be so deep and nourishing, that she would have dreams. And the Bible says, even at night, our heart instructs us. May you instruct her in her sleeping hours so that she wakes up in the morning wiser than she was the day before. God, I just ask you to download a whole new way of life so that she's energized and ready for what you have for her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. That was awesome.
Oh, so good to talk with you. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Bless you. All right, we've got a call from Leslie calling in from North Branch. Hi, Leslie.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing well. You're doing not so well, though, huh?
Well, yeah. You know, some of my frustration lately, actually, it's been quite a while now, has been just dealing with exhaustion, you know, being pulled in a lot of different directions. And to be perfectly honest, you know, the corporate world has sort of taken it out of me. I really feel beat up at the end of the day. And when I get home, you know, I'm just exhausted, and or even at the end of the week. And I feel like it's frustrating because I feel like that's taking so much time, you know, away that I can't focus on really doing the other things that I would like to be doing to, you know, that are fruitful for the kingdom of God. And then there's a lot of times where I feel like I'm just so tired I can't even hear God speaking to me. So, you know, I'm just always struggling with, you know, what to do about that and how to find that balance again, because it's just...
And I get it. And I've been there. And there's times where God's lifting the grace because he's getting ready to move you on. There's other times where we can talk ourselves into misery where he's like, you're not done here yet. My pastor used to say, you're not free to go till you're free to stay. And I pray that God would help you discern which that is, because I think if we frame our situation in a way that just, I hate it here. I should be doing something different or something more. But God is saying, no, I have something for you there. We won't find peace and joy till we reframe how we're seeing it and we submit our will. But there are other times where the grace is lifted and he's, it's not easier because he's like, I need you to get ready to move on from here. And I have a new book coming out in a couple of weeks. It's called Your Sacred Yes. And it's about the sloppy yes, which is overcommitment, this shackled yes, where our choices are driven by other people's opinions of us, and then the sacred yes, just when we are giving our whole lives for an audience of one. And I'm going to send you a copy. So you give Grace your address if you want to, because it is for that exhausted person who wants to just recover your joy, get your belly laugh back, so that you are in step with God and doing the things that he wants you to do. So would you like a copy?
I would love one. That'd be awesome.
I'd love to give you one. Let me pray for you real quick, can I?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Jesus, thank you for Leslie. I've been there. I know that weariness and that exhaustion to the point where we feel like we can't hear you. I pray even now in the name of Jesus, you'd breathe life into her heart, breathe life into her heart, vision into her spirit. Give her a strong sense, Lord Jesus, of what obedience looks like. And if there are any lies hidden in her soul, any things that she's believing that aren't true, I pray you'd speak to her about those things. Open her eyes to your will for her, Lord. Give her grace, abounding grace and peace and joy that pass understanding. Thank you for my dear sister. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes, God bless you, dear Leslie.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So, Matt, I'm going to put you on the spot here since I've basically been put on the spot for the whole hour and I haven't gotten any sympathy from you whatsoever. He's smiling. Can you play just a little bit of I Will Boast? Just give me a little bit of that. We have that ready. And then we'll come back and close out the show. Are you ready? Can you do that, Matt? You can. You can. Listen in. Appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for calling in. Even if it was a sympathy call, it was really great. I'm going to try this again and not be as scared next time. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of both hours on our website, myfaithradio.com. I will meet you back here next time. Have a blessed day.